Bob Inyart.
Greetings, America. This is not Bob Inyart. This is Lisa King.
Four housewives today. We have Mel Lukey, Brenda Johnson, and Dee Dee Hostetler. Bob is somewhere over North America in an airplane on the way to the KGov headquarters. Or he's hunting Osama bin Laden. Who knows? But we called Bob up and we said, Bob, we're coming to Nashville.
Beautiful Nashville.
That's right. It is a beautiful day.
We're in Nashville, Tennessee at the Grand Hotel Opryland. It is wonderful here. We've met a lot of nice people here at the exhibition home. We've talked to different ones trying to introduce Bob Inyart. We've had a lot of good times and a lot of luck talking to people.
Yes, we have.
So it's the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and we're just four housewives here trying to promote the show and get the word out. We're walking around talking to people.
Also, we're here to bring you
news du jour.
Have you all been watching the Olympics?
Yes, just a little bit.
How about the incident with the skaters? We've got a cover story in USA Today Sports. It talks about the two golden pairs, Jamie and David. They won an award in the eyes of the Canadians and the Olympic observers. Did they get their gold medal? Eventually. The second gold medal brought a happy ending for the fans of the Canadian skaters. We hope this will bring a closure to the controversy.
Now, what are these games really about? Can't everyone get a gold medal? Where's the love?
My husband and I personally watched the skating of these two couples, and the Canadian skaters, they were flawless. The Russian skaters, they did a good job, but the guy almost fell. But they're giving both of them the gold. I think there's something wrong with this picture. What happened to fair competition?
All this competition, it's just not good for their self-esteem. Of course we're being sarcastic. We don't want anyone to misunderstand.
But it was an embarrassing judgment call there.
It's just like Little League. They don't keep score anymore. Children are afraid to compete.
Do you think it's going to set a precedent that everybody deserves a goal for participation?
Well, and that's what the athletes said. They deserve a gold medal, too. Does it tarnish it?
There have been other cases which a double medal was awarded, but they usually involve the computation or timing errors. It wasn't a matter of performance.
Okay, well, I don't know about those ice skaters anyway. They seem a little light in their skates. What do you think? Did that guy have on makeup?
Had his nails done.
Yeah, I saw some nail polish.
And they hugged their teddy bear for 30 minutes.
That's pretty bad.
That's right. The fans, they throw things to the skaters. One guy had a teddy bear.
It's pretty sad to see a beautiful sport being destroyed by such a vile lifestyle that they're promoting on the ice.
That's Lisa. Right.
Skating's dirty little secret.
Is it a secret?
Not anymore.
You'd be surprised who is and who isn't.
Well, I don't know. It seems pretty obvious. Friends don't let friends be homos. Is that what Bob always says?
That's what Bob says.
Yeah, I had that bumper sticker on my car and got in a lot of trouble.
Oh, no.
Well, I have recently was married 8 months ago, and I would like to share my struggles with you.
Okay.
I've just shared this with just a few close friends.
That's right. This isn't kind of what Bob usually does, but we're four women and we're taking over, so we can talk about some personal issues today.
Go ahead, Dee Dee. We're behind you.
We have compassion, honey. We love you.
This is a kinder, gentler Bob Inyart show.
We love you, honey. Go right ahead.
Well,
don't be afraid.
It's okay. We're open.
Well, today I would like to come out of the closet.
What?
Dee Dee.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
I have always known that I was this way. I didn't really choose to be this way. God made me this way.
Boy.
Okay.
Well, I am homophobic.
Dee Dee! Oh, you brave soul!
Dee Dee, I think what you have done is you're empowering others to come forward too. You don't need to be in the closet anymore. It's time to come out.
More Christians need to come out of the closet on their homophobic attitudes. Oh, Dee Dee, have you ever been subject to hate crimes of any sort?
No, because I haven't told very many people because I was scared. Remember the Matt Shepherd story?
Well, that's
yes.
Right.
Yes.
For those of you who don't remember, he was a homosexual who was hung on a fence and beaten to death because he was gay.
Now, we don't perpetrate vengeance of someone who's a homosexual. What we do uphold is a godly government that would...
That's right. If you murder someone, you should be subject to the laws
right.
are in place, not to a judge determining what you felt in your heart while you were committing that crime.
So those that committed that crime, what should be their fate?
Death penalty.
Yes, I
agree.
That's right. For murder. But
yes.
Death penalty for homosexuality, too. If we had a government that instituted the death penalty for that abominable act, that Matthew Shepherd would still be alive.
That's
because
right.
He would not be a homosexual.
Now, I believe KGov had a group of protesters at the trial asking for the death of Matthew Shepherd's killers. Did the judge listen? No.
No.
That's right. Well, I don't know.
What does the verse say in the Old Testament, Brenda?
In the Old Testament?
Mm-hmm. Leviticus?
Is that for today, the Old Testament? Well, I can read it. It says.
Oh, excuse me.
When we come back,
we will continue.
Okay, remember, friends don't let friends
be homos.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians. But he said it, and in an effort to make you more Christ-like, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyart Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Benyart rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child rearing delivered by Pastor Enyart to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
Brenda Johnson, Mel Lukey, and Dee Dee Hostetler. We're sitting in for Bob here in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. And we had a startling revelation just before the commercial break. Dee Dee has come out of the closet today on national radio.
National radio.
Bless 700 stations on the IRN network across the country. Is that right?
Wonderful.
That was very brave. We were just about to look at a Bible verse here. What does the Lord say about this?
Well, the Lord has to say,
excuse me, warning. Will Robinson, there is danger ahead. For those in the audience that advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would censor anyone that dare quote a Bible verse in public. This warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Go ahead, Brenda.
Okay.
In just a few short words, I think we can understand what the Lord's mind is on this. In Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination.
That was in the Old Testament. Wasn't that when God was mean?
Well, God was mean in the Old Testament?
Would you be happy with
got a point there.
New Testament verse on this?
Well, what do you got?
Well, okay. In the New Testament, I don't think God was mean in the Old Testament. It's clear in God's word that God's justice doesn't change and that you can't separate God's love and hate for sin. It says in Romans 1:26-27, for this cause God gave them up unto vile infections, for even their women did exchange the natural use for that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is fitting. Now that's the New Testament. And that's how God feels.
Yes, homosexuals are disgusting and perverted. They are against nature.
That's right. But now we're kind of here to talk about Bob and what kind of influence he's had on us and watching the show. And we don't advocate being mean to homosexuals or hurting them. We advocate helping them and turning them around to the truth. And through Bob's show, I think we've learned to deal with them differently. Before I had my kids, I used to work, and there was a homosexual there, and everyone was making fun of him and talking about him, and he wasn't out, so I went to him and I said, are you gay? Everyone's talking about you. And he looked around nervously and he said, shh, I don't want people to hear that. And I said, well, why don't you just tell them you're not then? He said, well, I'm very confused. And I said, you know what? That's really good that you're ashamed, because that shows that you know in your heart that lifestyle is wrong. And just naturally, you know to be ashamed. And you need to let that guide you into doing the right thing. And before listening to Bob, I might have given him comfort in feeling that way. And that might have encouraged him to keep with that lifestyle.
They need to know that it is sin before they can even come out of that to repent. They can be forgiven, but they need to repent.
Right, and that really helped this man. After that, we were able to talk about the Bible quite a bit, and it really piqued his interest.
That's excellent. Homosexuality is so destructive. I've got a brother who's a homosexual. I've got a cousin who's a homosexual, who's married to a man and has 3 stepchildren, adopted son. And it is the most sick form of child abuse. And to see our country go in the direction of adoption of our gays adopting children is pathetic. It makes me sick.
It's a miserable lifestyle. No one ever says, I hope my child grows up to be a homosexual.
Never.
Because it destroys them. No mom says that.
I think so many families, I don't know of any family that's not touched by this issue. We just urge you to wise up. Let them know that it is sin. Let them know you're there to help them come out of that sin. God will forgive, but you have to repent.
Take a stand. We can make a difference.
Yes, we can. Love tells the truth.
Well, we have more news du jour here. Brenda? It's really here. What have we got?
Actually, this isn't in yesterday's paper,
okay.
but it is a letter to the editor that...
out of Warsaw, Indiana.
Warsaw, Indiana.
Times Union.
Date is January the 30th.
Okay, pretty recent here.
Right. I won't read word for word. I just want to break it down to a few points here. There was a mom that had written in. She was quite disturbed with the improper, her words, protesters that were standing outside of the Planned Parenthood office there with pictures of aborted babies. She was quite appalled.
She's appalled that those babies were aborted too, Brenda.
That's right. She also says...
Oh, wait, that's not what she meant, is it?
No, it's not. No. Keep going.
She was wanting the choice to be there. She didn't want to choose to look at those pictures and have her children see. Well, the choice should be there, but the choice should be for life. Many women and unborn babies lose their lives to back alley abortions, but all the babies lose their lives. And a lot of the women, even in our clean clinical abortion mills.
These women are the walking wounded. Women who murdered their babies in ignorance and women who murder their babies knowing exactly what they're doing. They're the walking wounded. And we do have a lot of love and concern for these women who have done this and are so afraid of coming to the forefront and taking a stand. They're either very bitter and they're pro-choice and they attack it with a vengeance, attack the pro-life movement, or they repent and they take a stand for their child. And we just want to encourage women to take a stand for their child that they have possibly or they have aborted and bring purpose to their life and save many more babies.
Now, Tammy writes, this is Tammy Raisler in her editorial to the Times Union. She says, also, how many unplanned pregnancies are they causing by standing there with those signs and possibly making people that want to use Planned Parenthood not go to pick up their birth control pills?
How stupid.
They're not going to stop fornicating, so
no.
We got to get them their birth control pills.
How stupid. She doesn't realize that when you give young girls and even single women who are in their 20s, 30s, a license to sin and be promiscuous and have sex, you're increasing the chances of pregnancy, which is exactly what they want to do. It's a money-making market, especially with young girls. They forget to take the pill. They're out, you know, with their boyfriends, and they get pregnant. And they go to the abortion mills, and they're making money. It's sad. It's sick.
That's right. And these birth control pills, all these teens using them, it contributes to a mentality that children are a product, just like going and buying a new car, not
right.
a gift from the Lord that
right.
we should cherish and value.
Right.
It's actually getting to be sort of trendy for yuppie couples to get a kid, drop it off in daycare.
What do we have to say to the ladies who may have had an abortion?
Well, I
think there's hope for them.
Oh, there's definitely hope. They can receive forgiveness. They can take a stand for their child and bring purpose to that child's life. And what is so incredible about repenting and asking Jesus Christ into your heart is that you will see your baby. You have an eternal reward in heaven. And we do have some facts we wanted to read about post-abortion trauma.
These women don't realize the long-term effects that abortion may cause to them.
We need to expose the knowledge of abortion risks. Abortion in the United States and throughout the world has been legalized because of two basic lies. The first lie is that abortion only destroys a bunch of cells, not a human life. The second lie is that abortion is safe and it helps women control and improve their lives. That is a lie straight from hell. People have hardened their hearts to the fetus. That is what this has caused. Their concern is focused totally on the woman. They don't think of the unborn child. They don't think of what this is going to do to the woman.
Long-term effects are
right.
Horrible.
Oh, it's awful. Those
emotional
women,
and physical.
Those women
problems.
Know when their baby would have been born. Those women are reminded every year of the birthday. Every time they see a baby, they are reminded, and they are very wounded and they're very grieved. The lie is that abortion is safe. The truth is the exact opposite. Abortion hurts women. It frequently causes irreparable damage to a woman's reproductive health. There's a link to abortion and breast cancer that they want to keep a secret.
Strong link.
Abortion almost always causes psychological and emotion damage. It can literally cripple a woman's ability to function in normal relationships with family, friends, or even at work. It's destructive. It effects of abortion on teenage girls is extremely destructive, especially in regards to a girl's psychological development.
That's right. But we're really here to encourage people that you can make a difference. We were talking last night, and we're from different towns in Indiana.
Small town USA.
We've got Connersville represented, Warsaw, Bloomington, and Indianapolis, and we all get together some. And recently we were going to have dinner, and there's a Planned Parenthood across the street. So while we're waiting for our table, we decided to go over there and hold up some signs for a while. Now, they weren't open. It was a Sunday. But even just being out there for an hour made a difference.
You definitely make a difference. People stop.
We had a lady that stopped that day and said, I really want to thank you for being here. And it encouraged her to talk to her friend that was thinking about having an abortion.
Right.
And really, it wasn't that hard. It was the first time I had been a protester. Yeah, we got a few heckles, but it was really worth knowing that we were promoting a cause to save life and to bring to the forefront that there is a choice. It needs to be life.
Now, we do understand not everybody is a protester. Some people are just not comfortable standing on a street corner holding a sign, and some people are. But we want you to know there's so much more you can do. You can call your local pregnancy crisis center in your area and find out what you can do to promote life, to promote the sanctity of life, passing out literature. There's just a lot you can do.
Well, just taking a stand, just like when we were talking about homosexuality, if people are aware of your beliefs and right from wrong, then that puts a stigma on the negative behavior.
Yes.
And that's another way that you can help prevent that.
Right. Well, go ahead, Brenda.
Even it's not just a woman's issue either. There's men.
It's men's issue.
That are touched by this.
Okay.
And men can also help. They can do repairs to the crisis pregnancy centers. There's grandmas that can quilt. There's supply.
And we're here in Nashville, Tennessee at the Grand Ole Opryland Hotel. We're broadcasting live from the Information Radio Network booth. And we're talking about some women's issues, family issues here today, covering a gamut of subjects. We don't know where in the world Bob Inyard is.
Where is Bob?
We think he's on the golf course looking for the real killer. Oh, wait, that's not Bob Inyard. That's
no.
O.J. Simpson.
Oh,
okay.
Me.
Okay.
Well, Lisa, we were talking about what might have been considered a women's issue on abortion. I just want to say again, it's not a women's issue. It is an issue that affects everyone.
It's a family issue.
Last night we had dinner and we were talking. Mel told a story about Sing a Little Louder.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us that.
Yeah. There was a pamphlet I had read about when the Jews were being hauled off in their train carts. Some Christians were gathering together and they would hear the cries of these Jewish people. And it would haunt them so badly that they would learn to sing a little louder so when they would go by they wouldn't hear them. And today, if we don't take a stand against abortion and we go about our lives turning the other cheek, we're in essence just trying to sing a little louder to drown out the horror of a Holocaust that's been taking place since 1973. And we need to expose it. We need to expose the, show the truth of the pictures of these aborted babies, because people who are offended by these pictures and don't want them displayed would be the same people that would like to tear down the memorial to the Holocaust. I mean, why would you take away those pictures that showed what Hitler did? It's awful. But the truth changes people's hearts.
When you're driving around town and maybe you're taking your family out or having a nice outing, do you stop and think that in the building down the street there's a baby being ripped apart? And are you doing anything about it?
We need to learn the truth and start telling the truth. We've got to do something.
Okay.
Another issue that may not be considered a woman's issue is pornography. This profoundly affects women.
Yes, it does.
May be one of the
leading
most harmful sins or problems in our country.
Well, I would like to share that real women are on those pages. I had talked to a particular gentleman that I was discussing a problem he had with pornography, and he told me, those aren't, you know, real women. They're just pictures on a page. I said, no, they're not. I said, you have a daughter, don't you? Well, yeah. And I said, how would you feel if your daughter was plastered, you know, someone taking a picture and plastered those pictures all over the country and the nations for people to lust after? I said, those women on those pages, they're somebody's little girl. And it's so destructive and it's so demoralizing and it devalues their lives. And those are people, they're real people with real lives. And when you think they're just a picture, it devalues them and it makes them nothing. And it leads to all kinds of...
It also destroys the real relationship
that
you can have in your life. If you're spending your time with self-gratification in a picture, then how do you relate to a real woman?
Well, it leads to all kinds of gross immorality. You look at Ted Bundy. He started as a young kid with a bunch of boys, and they found pornography in a dumpster, and it fed an appetite for him. And look how many women he destroyed. And the last little girl the last murder he committed was, I believe, a 12-year-old little girl. And that is just unimaginable. And God is so angry that we, you know, allow these perpetrators to live. I mean, like, it perpetrates rape. And
the lie that helps promote relationships between men and women, husbands and wives, is absolutely wrong.
That's right. The average man looking at pornography may not be a serial murderer, but
right.
What does that do to the relationship with his own wife? It causes the wife to be unresponsive and
right.
self-conscious. I don't know
right.
how many girlfriends I have that feel inhibited with their own husbands.
Right.
And that's a big part of the reason, because they're comparing themselves to these plastic, fake images. Kind of like Barbie dolls. At our house,
mm-hmm.
I have two girls, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, my babies, and We don't have Barbie dolls.
That's good.
Because a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I don't want Sarah and Gracie pretending to be little tramps all day long.
Right. Right. Okay. What? Oh, I had also went to a Christian concert, and there was an artist there that had recently gotten married, and he said, when I got married, my eyes got married, and I never forgot that.
Isn't that great? Oh,
yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, they're in their Bible verse, we won't read it on the air, but you can look it up. It's on Job 31:1.
Warning.
Oh, I forgot.
Well, Job says he made a covenant with his eyes not to look at a maid. And that's part
to remain
of what...
pure, because lust starts in the heart.
That's right. And sin starts in the heart. First, you devise it in your heart.
Yes,
and that's what leads to your evil actions.
Right.
So this is important to God, too. Not just what we experience, but what we view. What we take into our eyes, our minds, it's important to God.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a song? Be careful, little eyes, what you see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what I am really concerned, too, is the music industry that's promoting these young girls to be so provocative. It really desensitizes a little girl. I mean, there's 9-year-old girls going to...
Britney Spears,
and they're being desensitized to modesty.
Yes.
People associate modesty with being crude, and
absolutely not.
And that is not the case at all. It's very godly to be modest, and you're actually protecting your future sex life with your husband. You know, to be uninhibited and to be responsive towards him. But these poor girls, they're being desensitized, and they're being paraded as little tramps and little sluts, and it sets them up for men to look at them as a piece of meat instead of a person.
Now, here we are in Nashville, and we've been eating out at lots of nice restaurants and going out. And last night we went out, and while we were waiting for our table, the restaurant had pictures all over of different country music stars through the years.
Right.
And it's amazing how if you want to be in the music industry, even Christian, you have to be gorgeously beautiful.
Yes.
And it used to be based on talent, but now it's looks.
Yeah,
if
vanity.
You don't have that, it doesn't matter how you sound.
Yeah, image is important.
It was incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't think the music's as good now either.
No, it's shallow.
Parents of sons, too, need to take that extra effort to teach their sons to be respectful of women, to look for the modesty aspect of a future mate. I think that it would be well rewarded in the end.
I agree.
And there's something maybe a little more intriguing about not letting it all hang out and
yes,
kind of a little mystery maybe.
Right. Well, it says a lot about your character, and it says a lot about what's important to you. And you don't, as women and young girls, if you're listening out there, you don't want your identity tied up in your sexuality. Your identity should be in the woman that God has created you to be, and He's created you to love Him, and He's created you someday to be married to a man that would love you. And if you choose to remain single throughout your life, He created you to serve Him. And you just don't want to waste your life and what He's given you, your mind and your body, on things that are degrading and that would break His heart, because He loves you and He created women to be absolutely special, and they're it's a wonderful,
well, what's hard is
wonderful identity.
Boys, men, they can't escape it. We go to the mall,
right?
Take
they're
a
bombarded.
Stroll, yep. A pretzel,
yeah.
And what do you see? You walk by Victoria's Secret,
oh yeah,
or some other store.
Yeah, you talk about soft porn.
Even going to the grocery store, those women's magazines. Now, we always find something else and cover them up.
Sex sells, big money. That's right.
And you also have to censor what comes through the mail. Have you seen some of the ads?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good thing I have a P.O. box. I put it all in the trash before I even get home.
That's right.
Okay, well, this is Lisa King, Mel Lukey, Brenda Johnson, and Dee Dee Hostetler filling in for Bob and Yart. We'll be back with you in a moment.
Some people believe that Christians can speak in tongues. Some people believe that speaking in tongues has passed away. Are we saved by grace alone, or are there works involved? Some people believe that miracles are happening today. Others don't. How can all these disagreements come from the Bible if it's the inspired Word of God? Is there an answer to all these questions? In his book, The Plot, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, shows you the one Bible verse that solves all the apparent contradictions. Think that one verse can't solve these complex problems? Get The Plot today, and if you're not convinced, we will refund your money. Order The Plot for $29.95. Does God want the government to execute criminals? The Old Testament supports the death penalty, but now we are to turn the other cheek, right? The New Testament material concerning the death penalty starts in Matthew and continues through all the Gospels, Acts and Romans. It goes all through to Revelation. God and the Death Penalty is the video we've produced to arm you with the New Testament support for executing criminals. If the death penalty is immoral, then what does that say of God the Father demanding that Jesus Christ die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? God and the Death Penalty, a 2-hour video exploring the biblical support of the death penalty, is available for $24.95 by calling 1-888-8-ENYART. Bob Enyart Live is back on the air, but to stay on the air and grow, we need to hear from you. We offer many products with Bob's insightful and unique biblical perspective. If you appreciate Bob's ministry, let us know by writing us at Bob Enyart Live, P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado 80001, or go online to kgov.com.
Okay, we are back broadcasting live from Nashville, and by the way, that is a great book. You've got to get that if you haven't read it. We all actually met at a Plot seminar, and that's how we became friends years ago, and now we get together for monthly Bible studies and hang out, but you've got to read it. So
excellent.
We've been talking about some women's issues here today and different things. So where in the world is Bob Enyart? That's the question of the day.
Bob, where are you? Do you think he's reached the underground bunker located in the foothills of the Colorado Rockies? The headquarters of KGov.com?
They had to give up the KGov towers for a more secure location recently.
For those of you who don't know what KGov ShadowGov is, it's a discipling tool on the internet for
men only.
Sorry, ladies.
Oh no.
But you can read it. It's based on a theonomy perspective.
Well, Bob's working on training Christians to understand what a godly government would do and what it would be like. And Bob always says, when the rules break, the people break. And that is so true. We have so many laws. Who can know them all? You have to have a degree and a graduate degree just to know those. If a law is ridiculous, people will not follow it. When we were coming to the hotel, the speed limit was 24. I said, I can't drive 24. And I became a lawbreaker. They were provoking me. And these small infractions destroy the natural boundaries that people have against breaking the law, and it emboldens you just to go break some more.
Yeah, speaking of infraction, August 24th, Lisa, as I was actually going to your house for a Pampered Chef party, I was in an accident. I was rear-ended. Long story short, on the way home, I was met with two gentlemen.
I felt so terrible.
I met the angel of mercy and the hound from hell. hell within an hour of each other. The Angel of Mercy, his name is Marty Talbert.
Hi, Marty.
He's
Marty,
a state police officer who judges rightly.
Good job.
He was wonderful to me. He understood I was in an accident. He gave me a warning ticket, told me, he said, ma'am, this should get you home. Well, I got stopped an hour later from the hound from hell, whose name is John Jumper. He gave me a ticket. This meant I had to go to court and pay a fine. I was furious, wrote a letter, asked for a dismissal, never got a reply. My license was suspended. So I had to pay $104.50 in fines. Now this is wrong. My right to get home from an accident from point A to point B was violated. I wasn't given that courtesy, and this man could write a ticket and take $104.50 out of my pocket and 2 days of work.
So if somebody rear-ends you and you want to drive home,
you can't do it.
It's $140.
$104.50. is what I had to pay.
Wow.
So how does that make you feel then when it comes to abiding?
I feel, well, it makes me furious. I'll tell you, it's like I felt like becoming a criminal. I wanted to get revenge, but I'm not going to do that. I'm a Christian. I don't believe in that. But I believe in being protected as a citizen. I'm innocent, and these laws, God's laws are godly, and they're just and they're fair, and they protect the righteous. The governing authorities are God's ministers to give terror to the evildoer, and I'm not an evildoer. I was just going home from an accident, and this police officer, he's an evil policeman. He actually probably didn't like my bumper stickers. I had friends, don't let friends be homeless.
It erodes your respect.
Yes, it
for
does.
Law officers, and God has put government in place to be an example and to teach us that there is ultimately right from wrong.
Right.
There should be here and eternally, but what? There isn't a reward for wrong anymore.
No, and when the godless are protected by a wicked government, they have no fear of God. They do not fear him. And then when you've got Christians who are promoting a hypocrisy type of love, of love everybody and tolerate everybody, let's don't hate anybody, they don't fear God either, because they automatically think, oh, God will forgive me.
We should love people enough to
tell them the truth. Right, and
let
truth is very offensive. There's two things in this world that are offensive. It's sin and it's truth.
Well, we hope you get your ticket situation straightened out.
Oh, yeah. I paid the ticket. I have my license back, but thank God for Marty Talbert, because he told me, he goes, Mel, I want to encourage you to set a motion for retrial. He said, they'll subpoena me. I will gladly speak on your behalf. And he was the only person that didn't tell me, well, you should have showed up for court. It's like, I got so sick of hearing that.
He was a good officer.
Yes, he's excellent. I really appreciate him.
I took recently, my husband and I got a truck, and the girls and I went to the license branch, my 3-year-old and my 1-year-old, to get our title. And we went in, and you have to get in line, and you give them the paperwork. And she said, well, this paperwork's not filled out. I'm like, okay, I got my pen out. Oh, no, you'll have to leave the building
to fill out
your paperwork. And I looked at her, and I smiled, and I said, okay. Was I going to argue with the bureaucrat who loves her role? So I said, come on, girls, we're going outside. And we filled out our paper, we came back in, and we gave it to her. Oh, okay, well, here's your ticket, go wait in your next line. And I said, now girls, this is why bureaucracy is bad and why we don't like socialism.
We shouldn't have
to have a permit to drive our car or a license.
Right.
Should it normally be illegal and the government's granting me a special exception? But we had a great time. Everybody in that license branch was miserable, and we played, and we learned our social lessons.
Wonderful.
And pretty soon other people were having fun, too.
I'm sure the girls brought a lot of joy to those that were waiting in that waiting line.
That's right.
Another injustice, though, is with the wicked government, our traditional family structure is being severely attacked.
Yes. Families are just being torn apart by unjust laws and
especially
the whole system.
Yeah, the divorce laws, no-fault divorce, homos adopting children, anti-spanking. Boy, that's a big one. There was a recent person on Oprah Winfrey that stated that not to spank a child is the most insidious form of child abuse. I thought, praise the Lord.
Now, he won't be back on Oprah.
No, I seriously doubt it.
is his last appearance. That's right, and something that may be surprising for us to say, being women, but the equal rights movement, that has done so much to hurt women.
Oh, it's devalued women.
The paychecks, yeah. Men and women being paid equally. If why shouldn't my husband be able to make more if someone wants to pay him more? Don't I have a right to do what I want with my money?
Well, with women in the workplace, it's also keeping men who need jobs to support their families from getting jobs.
But wait a minute. Doesn't God view us all equally?
No.
There is no male or female in Christ, right? Does Jesus talk about this anywhere?
Yes, he does. Yeah, we're all one, but he doesn't do away with distinctions, and that's what they're trying to do away with.
I remember a story one time. There was a man, and he hired some workers. And at the last hour of the day, he hired some more workers. And at the end, he paid them all the same. And those first workers were so mad. And Jesus said, it's my money. Can't I do what I want? Why did my Jesus say that?
He's generous.
That's right. So, we're against equal rights for women. Maybe that's just a bad term.
I'm not...
Not equal, but fair. How's
yeah,
that?
Yeah, just. I believe a woman with children can stay home. I mean, there's, you know, people are so caught up in giving their children things, and the children need their mothers. And with the mothers out of the home, it has led to all kinds of havoc and destruction for our families. But with, you know, women at home, which is a God-given, wonderful institution for women to raise her children and to teach her children.
Lisa, was it a hard decision for you to decide to be an at-home mom taking care of your girls? And do you feel like you sacrifice anything?
I mean, do you feel like you need a career? I mean, after all, Lisa, you are so smart. You went to college. Do you think you need a career to find fulfillment? I mean, aren't you bored at home?
Oh, my. There's no boredom. I love it. I wouldn't miss it for anything in the world. It is the best thing.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead, Brenda.
We know that you're planning to homeschool your girls. Are you preparing them for a future that would involve college or a career?
No, absolutely not. I will discourage them from going to college. I think it's a terrible influence. But I do want them to be well educated. My daughter that's three is way ahead of other kids, public school kindergartners, first graders. She can read, she can do math, she knows how to bake the bread and roll out the dough, and we just spend a lot of time together. But she's also going to know how to be a mom and how to raise her children and how to be a good wife and take care of her husband.
And isn't that our
purpose?
You don't
learn that at school. That's right.
No, you
don't. My husband's favorite thing to say, the woman was made for the man.
We were made to help him.
That's right. So, she'll know how to do those things, but it's great when you have a good husband and when everyone knows their proper place.
Yes, yes. And it's not inferior, right? I'm so sick of a woman... Women who stay home, that they're made to feel inferior, that they're missing out on life because they're not. That is the. I just really envy women who are at home. I mean, I chose as a young female to not have children, which was a very selfish thing to do, and it took me a long time to admit to that. And I really do envy women who are out there home raising their children. It's wonderful. I mean, you're going to see the fruit of sharing God with them and them responding to you, and I really envy that. I all you women out here that are staying home, hang in there. Don't worry about giving your children things. Give them yourself.
That's
and Christ
right.
Christ gave us himself.
Okay, so
we just want to